this hour. U.S. 2 eastbound and westbound at Sky Comish to Deception Falls. Fallen trees blocking all lanes. State Route 410 eastbound and westbound at 323rd Avenue Southeast to Mud Mountain Road. Fallen trees blocking all lanes. And I-5 southbound just north of Union Street. Disabled vehicle blocking the center lane. Stay tuned to Alternative Talk, 11:50 a.m. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes is coming up next.
Raid results, refugee legislation. I'm Chaz Henry. Law enforcers in France say at least 2 people are dead. There could be more in the wake of that overnight raid on an apartment just outside central Paris. 8 in custody, 7 men, 1 woman. Correspondent Jim Sciutto on what apparently brought counterterrorism teams to that apartment.
Phones found near the dead bodies of those terrorists from Friday's attacks gave them a clue. And I was told earlier today by French security sources that intercepted communications coming from that apartment in Saint-Denis where these raids took place are what helped lead them there.
We're told that neither the suspected mastermind of Friday's massacre in Paris nor a fugitive attacker are among those in custody. Prosecutors say they can't yet say if they might be among those killed in this morning's raid. And Republican leaders in Congress say they've tried to strike a balance in legislation aimed at increasing screening for Syrian and Iraqi refugees before they're allowed to enter the U.S. They note that the measure would not limit refugees based on their religion. I'm Chaz Henry. In Central America, police officers have arrested 5 Syrian men that correspondent Rosa Flores tells us were carrying fake Greek passports.
According to authorities there in Honduras, these men were trying to travel from the capital, Tegucigalpa, to San Pedro Sula, and then from there, from San Pedro Sula, they were planning, according to authorities, to travel to the United States.
The earth was warm this past October, correspondent Michael Toscano telling us, way warmer, according to new figures, than any October ever recorded.
New data from the Japan Meteorological Agency and NASA show that the planet obliterated October records established just last year. October 2015 outbaked October 2014 worldwide by 0.34 degrees and 0.32 degrees. In JMA and NASA's analyses, respectively.
High winds have shut down most of the runways at Chicago's O'Hare International, causing arrival delays averaging more than 2 hours. Website flightaware.com says more than 270 flights were canceled by midday. I'm Chaz.
It's time that you are heard, and I don't mean in just a conversation. I mean really heard. Imagine hosting your very own radio program on Alternative Talk 1150. Talk about being heard. Call 425-653-1150 right now to learn how affordable it can be to host your own radio show. Time slots are going fast, so take hold of this chance by dialing 425-653-1150. Alternative Talk, we have an opportunity waiting just for you.
Good afternoon, Eric Reiner here with you on Alternative Talk, 11:50 a.m. Time now for a quick look at a weather outlook. Well, looks like we'll see scattered showers through the rest of this afternoon, a much mellower afternoon than yesterday. Thursday, we'll see showers possible again with highs around 48, lows around 43. Friday, partly cloudy with highs around 47. Mix of sun and clouds.
Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KLCK FM 98.9 Digital HD3 Seattle.
Welcome to the Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk AM 1150. As I say every week, it's great to be here today. I actually was in Europe for almost 2 weeks and was in Italy on vacation and was surveying as part of my vacation, of course, the dogs in Italy and looking at what breeds I saw and, you know, how their humans interacted with them and how that might have been different from what I see in Seattle area and all that good stuff, in addition to seeing some really incredible history and architecture and, oh my gosh, and, you know, the wine was delicious. Had a lot of pizza, which is fine with me. I love pizza. It was amazing. Eric, have you ever been to Italy? I know you've been to the UK a few times.
I have not been to Italy. I've been to France. I've been to Ireland. I've been to the UK, but still need to venture a little further east, I guess.
Yep. I recommend. Yeah, it was really something else.
People Everybody I talk to that's been just raves about what a great time they had.
Yeah, yeah, it was. You know what was so funny is that there were so many dachshunds, standard dachshunds. So, of course, there's the mini dachshunds, which we actually see more of here in the States. They're a pretty popular breed, mini or what they call tweeny dachshunds that are actually a little bigger than the breed standard for a miniature. You don't really see too many standard dachshunds over here. I'll tell you, Italy was crawling with them.
big wiener dogs.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. They were everywhere. It was so fun. Of course, I was, like, thrilled. Yeah, and then just lots of other different breeds and, you know, definitely a different look. Certainly less dogs, but Seattle is just teeming with dogs, so I think it's hard to beat the density of dogs in this city, but definitely less dogs. And, you know, not really many where we were, and went to a bunch of different cities, and at least in those cities, you know, we didn't really see any pet stores.
Hmm.
In one of the grocery stores, though, they actually had, you know, dog food, and they had a huge bag of pasta for dogs.
Dog pasta.
Yeah. I was like, okay.
All right.
it was really fun, and of course, you know, great to have a change of scenery. We missed our dogs terribly, of course, but they were in good hands with our friends, who we're very grateful for. So, anyway, it was a blast. You know, I get to go through all of our over 350 episodes now. When I do go out of town, if I don't have a pre-recorded show, then I get to pick from some of my favorite archives, and there are a lot of them. So, actually focused on training and behavior with this cluster of encores that Eric was kind enough to run in my absence, you know, really loaded with some great training and behavior information. I had, you know, did a couple sort of private lessons almost on air, and so we get to rerun those, and so I hope if you listen to those, you got something out of them. So I've got a few different topics today. First of all, I want to acknowledge very warmly our show partners. We have the Natural Pet Pantry, raw and cooked food for dogs and cats. They have two stores in the Seattle area, one in Burien and one in Kirkland. Really wonderful stores. Definitely check them out if you're in the area. And you can also find them online, naturalpetpantry.com. If you can't go to one of their locations, you can find their food in many fine independent pet stores in the area. And they also offer home delivery, which is awesome. So, and that's what we do. We get our monthly deliveries for our dogs, which is really convenient. And you can get signed up for that through their website, naturalpetpantry.com. It really is the best you can do for your dog or cat nutritionally is to feed them really what they're designed to eat. And then also Jet City Animal Clinic and Dr. Anderson and her team.
Instead of pasta.
They're
probably not designed to be eating a bunch of pasta.
I was like, really? A big bag of pasta?
Okay. I'm assuming it's like a treat kind of thing.
I don't know. I wonder if they make
a nice sauce to go with.
Yeah. I have a picture of it. I'll post it. I don't think I posted it on the Dog Show Facebook page, so I'll post the picture of me holding up that bag of pasta. They also had a bag of, like, risotto and other, but it was totally for pets. Very curious. No, we don't recommend your dog live exclusively on pasta, even if it's fresh and from Italy. Jet City Animal Clinic, and part of what I'm going to talk about in a little bit, sort of in the second half of the show, is what to look for and sort of what to expect from your veterinarian. You know, I work with a lot of clients in the Seattle area with my business, Sensitive Dog, and, you know, I offer private consultations for dog training and behavior for all types of dogs in the Seattle area. And so, I take a holistic approach to training and behavior. So I talk about, of course, directly about training and behavior topics. Also, other things that impact behavior, health and wellness. Food is a big part of that. Oftentimes I'm working with the client's veterinarian. Simple example, house training issue. Does the dog have a urinary tract infection? Well, go to the vet, have it checked out, all that kind of stuff. I mean, there's so many ways that health and behavior are linked together. There's so many ways that food and health are linked together. So many ways that food and behavior are linked together. Really, the moral is that it's all linked together. So it's important to be aware of all of these things, especially when evaluating a behavioral challenge, like, and especially something like aggression or anxiety. Anyway, so Jet City Animal Clinic, one of our proud partners. We love them there. Dr. Anderson and her team do a great job. You can find them online at jetcityanimalclinic.com. She is a very open-minded and thorough vet. And unfortunately, there's, a number of vets out there who aren't necessarily very open-minded to, for example, raw food diets or any sort of alternative treatments. And, personally, I know for my own health and for our dog's health, we sort of team with both Eastern and Western. Some things are great for the regular vet, other topics great for a holistic vet or something like that. So Dr. Anderson and her team are wonderful to work with to really incorporate all angles on healing. JetCityAnimalClinic.com, and I'm going to be talking a little bit more about that later in the show, and then I will run a conversation that I had with her in the second half of the show so that you can get to know her a little bit more if you're in the Seattle area and you're looking for an attentive, thorough, skilled vet. We highly recommend Dr. Anderson at Jet City. So I do have an announcement for an event coming up with an organization that I love here locally, one of many. It seems like this late summer and fall, we have lost a lot of dogs in my community. This fall and late summer, as I said, it felt like almost like every week or two I heard that someone who I know had to say goodbye to their dog. I was even in the room for the euthanasia of the dog of some very close friends of mine. Blue, the Mexican, so that was Brax, the cattle dog mix. I also Blue, the Mexican hairless, Haas, the Doberman, and I did actually a show after his sudden death where we brought his owner, Janice Lehman, one of his pet parents, on to talk with us with Michelle Nichols, who's the founder of A Help Project, to talk about grief and moving through grief. Miles, a dog very close to us, poodle, sheepdog mix, we had to say goodbye to recently. And then our own Eric and his girlfriend, partner, mm-hmm. Jess, had to say goodbye to their dog, Sammy, yeah. Very recently too. And it always, I always really feel it. And so many more, so many more dogs that I didn't name who I don't even know the people. And I really, every time I hear that somebody's had to say goodbye to their pet, I can really feel it in my heart. I've been there, and it hurts. It's a bugger. Living with and loving a dog or cat or other pet often means that we're going to have to get intimate with death, a phenomenon that's really hard to grasp, both intellectually and also in our hearts. The expression, my heart hurts, well, how this literally feels if you've had to say goodbye to a pet that you love in grief. After Haas's sudden death, as I said, I was inspired to do a show about grief and pet loss again. Michelle Nichols, the co-founder of A Help Project, came on the show to talk with me about grief, along with Haas's grieving pet parent, my friend Janice. That was just a couple weeks after Haas passed away, I think. And that was episode number 334 from July 22nd of this year, 2015. I've done a number of shows on the topic over the years. You can find them all on our archives. We can go to dogradioshow.com, click on the podcast page, and you'll see If you hover over the podcast tab, you'll see a drop-down menu that'll separate out the episodes by year, and it goes back to 2009. You can also just click on the main podcast tab, and that will bring you to the current year. The first one I did was back in September of 2009, episode number 31, over 300 episodes ago when my first dog as an adult, Chewy, died. And I talked about it a week and a half after I had to say goodbye to him. And I can almost, I can feel the tears well up as I talk about it now, several years later. I sounded a little similar to how I sound now. I have a cold, a little bit of a cold right now. The difference is that today I have a cold. Back in episode number 31, I was sick with a broken heart. The important thing about grief is that you feel it. Cry, sob, talk, sing, make art, cry some more. Surround yourself with people who get it. That's really important. It's not just a pet. It's important to feel it. Fortunately now, there are communities in place waiting with open arms for folks with broken hearts to walk through their virtual doors, to reach out, send an email, read their resources, show up at their pet loss support groups, and or attend their events designed to help people move through the grieving process as gracefully as possible. There's no way around it. It's hard. But the important thing is to keep that emotion moving. When Chewy died, my boy, he was my first heart dog, and I really felt my heart break, but in doing so, it really cracked open. I felt my love for him expand within me. And that was a powerful part of my growth and healing as a human being. Are you grieving the loss of a four-legged family member now as you're listening? Did your dog, cat, ferret, lizard, or horse pass away recently? Or do you know someone who is feeling the grief of a lost pet? If so, you can refer them. If they don't live in the Seattle area, you can refer them to our many episodes dealing with pet loss. Also, AHELP Project, which is a local organization, stands for Animal Hospice, End of Life, and Palliative Care. Their website is ahelpproject.org. They're hosting an event Saturday, December 5th, 2015. AHELP Project is hosting their Holiday Art of Healing event, and that is at Splash Dog in Edmonds. Saturday, December 5th, from 2 to 5 p.m., AHELP Community is hosting this event to help the community create beautiful, meaningful gifts and memorials while working through your feelings of grief and loss. You can incorporate your own photos and mementos into personalized creations for yourself or your loved ones, featuring supplies and instructions on how to complete four art projects, refreshments, festive treats, sandwiches, raffle and door prizes. Of course, it's a pet-friendly event. Handmade dog treats will be available courtesy of the dining dog. Regenerate your spirit during their moment of remembrance led by the Caregiver Support Circle facilitator Diane Dyer. And I've attended one of her moments of remembrance during an event that we hosted with Rainbow Bridge Hearts a few years ago, and it was really awesome. So you can purchase your tickets online. It's an $18 early bird ticket through the end of November. Just go to ahelpproject.org, and you can click on the current event tab there on the right column, or upcoming events on the right column of the site. ahelpproject.org, and you can get more information about that. Just click, like I said, on the upcoming events tab. You know, creating art is a really great way to express emotions for anything, really, and it's used a lot in grief. So it's an event I highly recommend. Share it with your community. I will post a link to this on our Facebook page as well. So if you are not a fan of us on Facebook, you can find us there. Just search for The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. And it's a great event. And, you know, I just really, anyone whose heart hurts because they're still grieving the loss of a pet, I feel you. And I know that it's hard, and it takes time. It really does. I mean, give yourself time, several months. Like I said, I mean, I had to say goodbye to Chewy, I don't know, 6 years ago, and I almost started to well up as I was talking about it today. So we get it here, and there's a lot of support out there. Important, like I said, to find people in your community who get it also, because not everybody does. So we have some great new shows coming up this holiday season and into the new year. I've been flooded a little bit in a wonderful way with authors, new books out. Very excited to be interviewing Bernie Siegel, who is the author of a book called Love, Medicine, and Miracles. He has a new book that's just out now, Love, Animals, and Miracles, Inspiring True Stories Celebrating the Healing Bond. I'm excited to talk with him. We're actually doing a pre-recorded show in December, and I'll probably run that during the thick of the holidays. So I'm really excited to talk with Bernie Siegel and to share that conversation with you in December. I have another author coming up who I'm going to be interviewing, a book called My Old Dog, Rescued Pets with Remarkable Second Acts by Laura T. Coffey with photographs by Lori Fusaro. I know the folks at Old Dog Haven will be interested in that one. November is actually Adopt a Senior Pet Month, so we're still in that. Another book, Heal, The Vital Role of Dogs in the Search for Cancer Cures by Arlene Weintraub. I'll be talking with her. And then yet another book, From Stray Dog to World War I Hero, The Paris Terrier Who Joined the 1st Division. This is a biography of Rags, the mascot of the 1st Division in France, World War I. I'll be talking with the author of that book as well. One of my favorite parts of doing this show over the years, you know, in general, has really been getting to talk with a lot of really amazing people doing all sorts of awesome things in the world of dogs. I especially, as a writer myself, love talking with authors. I love to read their books, and I actually read their books, and then I love to talk to them about their books and about their lives and all that stuff and share that with you. So we've got a lot of really great authors to look forward to take us through the holidays and into the new year, too. So be sure to stay tuned for that. And, of course, if you can't listen live here on KKNW every Wednesday at 2, you can find all of our shows archived on our website, dogradioshow.com. You can also go to iTunes and download all of our podcasts for free there, too. So I had an interesting just to kind of switch gears a little bit before we take our first break, I really had an interesting conversation with some clients recently that I had a couple weeks ago. And maybe it was just a week ago. Feels like a couple weeks ago. And they, the topic is basically how dogs are sensitive to the flow of emotion within a family. So, you know, if that's just two people, like in this case, it was a couple, young adult couple, probably around my age, and they had recently adopted a rescue dog, and she was shipped from, I can't remember where, I think Texas or something like that, shipped to them, which, you know, is kind of tough with dogs, and then the guy made the mistake of, you know, opening the crate and taking the dog out of the crate from being shipped. And this is an opportunity to just let you know, if you are getting a dog shipped to you, excuse me, whether it's a rescue dog or a new puppy, don't take them out of the crate at the airport. Take the crate home and then in a safe space, open the door of the crate and let the dog walk out on their own. Because I've met with a lot of people who, unfortunately, unknowingly, you know, they're eager to get the dog out of the crate. The dog's had potentially, you know, a long flight. They're worried the dog has to go to the bathroom or whatever. Pull the dog out of the crate. Well, if that flight experience in and of itself was traumatizing, Or if the dog, you know, has otherwise come from a rescue situation, the dog can attach the trauma of the experience to the person who's taking them out of the crate in a way that the dog would consider would be forcefully, even though the human is just pulling them out. So unfortunately, this guy made that mistake, and the dog is making him pay for it, and she doesn't trust him and is very suspicious of him. She's a very fearful and skittish dog anyway, so we have a challenging temperament to work with to start, and also a challenging environment that she came from. And then he, you know, unknowingly did this, and she's just not warmed up to him. He takes her for walks every day, feeds her, all this stuff, but she has a sort of attached trauma to him and is not forgiving him for that, is not able to. Well, what happened is she started warming up with a lot of visitors, so her female owner sees clients out of her house and has both men and women come in and out, and the dog has over time warmed up with both the men and women who come over, and she's gotten increasingly more comfortable over time, but not her partner. And as a result, it's caused tension in the relationship between man and woman. And the woman was sort of being hard on him. He's not doing enough. And, you know, of course, this is all just coming from a place of fear, because this is causing upset. She's worried that this dog isn't getting better. In fact, she's getting worse. Now she started growling at him when he comes into the room, and even barking at him now. Why is this getting worse? So now the woman is sort of being hard on the guy, telling him, you know, you should be doing this, you're not trying hard enough. And he's having a hard time because he's having this dog acting aggressive towards him, and in his efforts over the several months that they've had the dog, she's just gotten worse. And so he's not only getting sort of harshness from the dog, but now he's getting harshness from his girlfriend. And so in my conversation, one of the things that we sort of shined a light on was that the dog, the reason why it's getting worse, one of the reasons, but I would say the main one, is that the woman is role modeling negative emotion towards her partner, and the dog is seeing that. And it's, you know, this is one way that dogs are very sensitive to people. Just fundamental direction of emotion, positive or negative, they pick up on that stuff like real fast. So she unknowingly has been role modeling negativity towards the guy. The dog already has it out for the guy because of the association and the mistake he made initially by pulling her out of the crate. Now this is being reinforced by the person who she's the most bonded with. So part of the conversation was we had to change that, and that in order to create a sense of love and positive emotion from the dog to the guy, it actually had to start with his girlfriend. And she had to start showing love and positive emotion towards him to role model that to the dog. And then, of course, we talked about all the other things that we talk about in our lessons through training and other behavior work. But it was just a really interesting thing about how sensitive dogs are to the direction of emotion. And these are the cases where I feel truly almost as much as a therapist to people as I do to their dogs, because sometimes we really do have to get into these kinds of conversations. And they were really awesome being open with me about the tension that was happening, and that was really important in resolving it. So I look forward to checking in with them in a few weeks to see how things are going. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about what to look for in a vet. And then you're going to listen to my interview with Dr. Erica Anderson. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. Natural Pet Pantry is Seattle's original source for wholesome dog and cat meals, offering 8 different protein options to accommodate your pet's dietary needs. Made locally using all U.S.-sourced ingredients, their freshly ground stews, raw or cooked, can be purchased from their 2 stores in Burien and Kirkland, most independent pet supply stores, or delivered right to your door. Go to naturalpetpantry.com for more information. I'm Julie Forbes, and my first choice for my pet's food is the Natural Pet Pantry. It's the educated choice.
Wish your dog didn't hate going to the vet. Wish you were welcomed by a team who cared. Jet City Animal Clinic is an enjoyable respite from the same old thing. Dr. Anderson and her team have created a full-service facility that combines veterinary expertise with a comfortable style. Jet City Animal Clinic is located in Seattle's Capitol Hill neighborhood on 12th Avenue across from Seattle U. Bring your crazy questions, odd ideas, and alternative thinking. Jet City Animal Clinic will work with you to keep your furry family members healthy and happy. Traditionally educated with an open mind, call us at 206-329-0253 or email info@jetcityanimalclinic.com to make an appointment. Jet City Animal Clinic, a unique approach to the health care of your urban pet, a local family practice. JetCityAnimalClinic.com.
Write it down, shout it loud. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Now, wasn't that fun?
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist. Welcome back to the Dog Show with Julie Forbes. Okay, so I recently wrote an article and actually sat down with Dr. Anderson, who you're about to see. You're about to hear an interview I did with her, sort of introducing her as one of our show partners a couple years ago. I recently wrote an article talking about what to look for in your veterinarian. I've worked with a number of veterinarians over the years. I've met some wonderful vets who are just brilliant, amazing to work with, open-minded, all that great stuff. Unfortunately, I also work with clients who are not happy with their vets. They don't feel like they're being listened to. They feel like the vets are bullying them into doing this or that, or they're just not attentive. They're just sort of dismissing concerns that they might bring up. So I encourage you, don't settle. If you don't feel like your vet's being attentive, if you don't feel like your vet is listening to you, if you don't feel like your vet is open to what you want them to be open to, find a new vet. You are not married to the vet that you might start with. You know, I think it's important for the clients to have a standard and to really require what, you know, for vets to behave, I think how they should is to really listen, to be open-minded. They don't know everything. There's a lot to learn. Any expert, I think, will agree you continue to learn as you practice. So it's important to really have your, you know, work with a vet who you really, really love and feel like is attentive to your needs. I'm going to share with you an interview I did with Dr. Erica Anderson of Jet City Animal Clinic, one of our partners, and you can hear in the nature of our conversation how cool she is to interact with. She's a great vet. So enjoy my talk with Dr. Anderson. We have Dr. Anderson with us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And I know you've been so excited for the interview, and we've been excited to have you. And I was trying to find... So did you see The Matrix, Dr. Anderson?
Yes.
Do you get that a lot?
No. I think it's great.
So I was looking for quotes that I was just going to, like, try to find a quote from the movie, but they're not very pleasant.
I think it's Mr. Anderson.
Well, it is Mr. Anderson, but I say Dr. Anderson because you're here. But so I was looking for quotes, and they're just not very pleasant from Agent Smith. Like... Tell me, Dr. Anderson, what good is a phone call when you are unable to speak? Like, not very welcoming and friendly. So,
but good movie.
Did want to make the Matrix reference, though, and it's just so tempting to say her name like that.
Not a lot of dogs in the Matrix movies, as far as I can...
I don't recall seeing any dogs.
Right, so...
Which...
We're probably stretching the boundaries of the dog show without...
That's what the Matrix is all about, though, isn't it? Stretching
it is.
Boundaries.
Yes, good point.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, Jet City Animal Clinic has been open since January 23rd was your first day open.
Right.
It's beautiful. looks so nice. It's such a great space to be in, and I know that that's one of your kind of intentions with opening your own clinic, was really having a space that people and dogs are going to want to go to.
Right, right, and just to have it be pleasing for everybody and calm. I mean, when the lobby's calm, the animals are calm, the people are calm, and there's just lots of good stuff to look at.
You're pretty calm, too.
Oh, well, that's good.
People, I'm sure, can hear it in your voice. People say that I'm a very calming voice, and I feel like you have a very calming voice.
Are we going to have a calm off?
I know.
Let's go!
Know.
You lose, Eric.
I know.
Everyone falls asleep.
Ah, thrown out.
Try to stay. Yeah, keep alert. No, but it's nice, and that's important. Like, that's everybody who I've sent to you, and I've sent friends and clients, have said how much they love your demeanor. And
it's really nice.
So the environment reflects that. Quiet, calm, beautiful, pleasing to enter, but with a really nice style, too. So it's not like calm, I'm going to fall asleep, but it's really just calmly engaging. And you have a quiet room there that is used for specific things that we'll talk more about. You know, so let's talk about the way that you practice medicine, and I know that your focus mainly is about your relationship. So talk a little bit more about what you mean by that.
Well, so I've been a vet for going on 10 years now, and I find that when you really connect with somebody, that's the most meaningful. They're able to understand what you're saying and make decisions based on a relationship.
Yeah.
A relationship that's based in integrity and honesty and logic, really.
Yeah.
Because not everybody can do everything that you provide or propose to them. So
yeah,
we work with what you can do.
Yeah. I think that that's a common complaint that I've heard from my clients, especially over the years, is that lack of connection. Because, I mean, and I can kind of relate to that too with like what I do. It's part, a lot of it is, you know, and for you, you're working with a pet that in some cases has something wrong. So you're working directly with the pet, but then you're also working directly with the human. And how important it is to be able to do both effectively, not just be great with the animals, but then not really be able to communicate what's going on or what the options are to the human and really work with the human. The other thing that I really like that you say is that you're really about educating and empowering the owners to make the decisions with you. It's not just like a bullying experience, which happens a lot, unfortunately. I've had people tell me this over the years, where they just don't feel like they're really in power to make decisions. And that's a great part of it, too, where it's like a partnership.
Yeah, that's part of the integrity, I think, is presenting all the options and then discussing the options and allowing owners to make the decisions that are going to be, one, best for their pet, but also for their pocketbook or circumstances in their life.
Right. Because it's not an exact science.
No.
So, and that means a lot of different things, but that's even more so important that the communication is really easy and flowing.
Right. And you know, the owners are so important in the healing process,
mm-hmm.
and they're so important in getting the truth about what's going on, because they know their pets better than I do.
Yeah.
And I can tell them maybe where it hurts, but they can tell me, how long has it been going on? What's going on? And that's one of my pieces of advice is know your pet.
Mm-hmm.
Know your pet and what's normal. You know, how much do they urinate? And when they go out in the backyard, what do? You know, do they just play around or are they having diarrhea? Or, you know,
mm-hmm.
so it just helps you. The owners are just so important in the relationship. And so,
yeah. And I remember when I was talking with Lola Ball, who's the author of When Your Dog Has Cancer, and she's going to be at your guys' open house.
Yep. Excited
which is
for that.
Yeah, which is this Saturday from 10 to 4. JetCityAnimalClinic.com is the website. You can find out More information about that from their site. And I will also post information on our homepage as well, dogradioshow.com. So she's going to be doing a book signing there at your guys' open house, which is great. But we were talking about the importance, like of you said, knowing your pet, really knowing how your pet feels and really like intentionally doing, you know, just getting your hands all over your pet so that if something changes, if there's a new bump or lump, that you're going to feel it, because with some dogs and cats with their fur, you're not necessarily going to see it.
Right, right. And just even their behavior is important, too,
mm-hmm.
knowing what's normal for them.
Yeah, totally.
Otherwise.
So you've opened since January 23rd, and has there been any anything that's impressed you about having, like, you, as far as your expectations of, well, now I have my own clinic? Because there is a lot that goes into it. I was blown away when you did your sort of pre-opening party. Like, because as a business owner, you know, I was, like, walking through the clinic, looking around, looking at all the equipment that's there. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is amazing. This is beautiful. And there's so much to it. So... Is it sort of settling in? Hasn't only been a few months.
Yeah, it's settling in, and it's a really fun. I had no idea it would be fun. The team is so much fun. We enjoy each other. We enjoy our job. We enjoy the clients that we work with. And you know, I think what I've really learned is that the clients in the area, and well, anybody who comes, they're so knowledgeable about food, about healthcare. They're really intelligent, and it's so nice to work with them. Mm-hmm. It really is, and they're very open for, you know, we do some funny things at the practice, do some alternative things, and you know, they're open to that. And when I present that, it's, I don't know, they just really love their pets, which is really nice.
Yeah, and that's something, too, that I think makes you really special is that you're a traditional vet. You're not a holistic vet, but you're traditionally educated, but you're so open and aware of other alternative options to refer people to really create a team, which I think is so important. Because, and I see that with my work, working with behavior, oftentimes I'm sending dogs to their vet to get checked out for if there's something medical going on, or referring them to see Dr. Nels, who I've had on the show, who's amazing, who is one of the cool connections out of this relationship is that he's practicing once every other Saturday at Jet City Animal Clinic, which is so great.
Yeah, he has three or four clients a week when he comes in there, and people come to see him get readjusted energy-wise, and well, people don't, their dogs do, but he does everything from chickens to horses, so.
Has he worked a chicken?
He hasn't yet.
But he will.
He will.
He probably has.
We had chickens in there today, actually.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you guys, you see chickens, too, which is cool. There's a lot of chickens around. We have chickens across the street.
Yeah. Kevin, the practice manager, is actually on the poultry board for Washington State.
And oh, wow.
So
there you go.
He's used to show all sorts of animals, but chickens are one of his things.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back talking more with Dr. Anderson of Jet City Animal Clinic. JetCityAnimalClinic.com is the website. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150. This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dogs, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedogs.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist, www.sensitivedog.com.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Burlingame Veterinary Consulting, we cover the world of animals. This week, November 22nd, it's time to learn about the benefits of Chinese herbs for us and our animal friends. Tia and David Akrish, owners of Heaven and Earth Chinese Herb Healing Center, join me in the studio. We'll get to know them and find out about the services and products they have to offer, and we'll have open phone lines for questions and free consultations. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The Natural Pet Pantry is Seattle's original source for wholesome dog and cat meals, offering 8 different protein options to accommodate your pet's dietary needs. Made locally using all U.S.-sourced ingredients, their freshly ground stews, raw or cooked, can be purchased from their 2 stores in Burien and Kirkland, most independent pet supply stores, or delivered right to your door. Go to naturalpetpantry.com for more information. I'm Julie Forbes, and my first choice for my pet's food is the Natural Pet Pantry. It's the educated choice.
Get a grip on life with Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to the Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. We're back with Dr. Anderson and Jet City Animal Clinic. It's not going to get old. JetCityAnimalClinic.com is their website. They're located on 12th Avenue in Seattle's Capitol Hill, right near Seattle U. And they're a full-service veterinary practice. And we're so excited to have you here on the show and get to know you a little bit. If you've missed any part of this interview or any of our past shows, we have over 200 archived on our website, dogradioshow.com, and also a free download from iTunes. So just search for The Dog Show with Julie Forbes and under the audio podcasts of iTunes, and you'll find all of our episodes there as well. And if you're on Facebook, be sure to find us both on Facebook. We are awfully close to hitting 1,000, which is exciting.
Oh.
Hopefully today. So if you're near your computer or you get home, get on Facebook and find The Dog Show with Julie Forbes and become a fan and become part of the conversation in between our live shows every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and then our encores every Sundays at 1. You can also find Jet City Animal Clinic on Facebook as well. So you guys have an open house coming up this Saturday from 10 to 4 at your clinic.
Yes.
And there's so much going on. I mentioned in the last segment, Lola Ball is going to be there. She's the author of When Your Dog Has Cancer. She's going to be doing a book signing in the afternoon. I'm going to be there offering free dog training and behavior advice or conversations for anyone who has questions about their dog's behavior or training from 2 to 4. And tell us about some other stuff that you have going on. You're doing like all these crazy giveaways and food and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, we have some really great sponsors. There's a huge canine gift basket that if you come, you get a free raffle ticket, so you don't have to buy the raffle tickets.
Uh-huh.
I'm hoping to have a photo booth as well. But there's a huge canine gift basket, just treats and grooming and toys, everything. Same feline basket as well. Carpet stain cleaner. We're giving away some things, a senior annual wellness exam for dog or cat. These are like $300, $350 values, which are great.
Yeah, it includes all sorts of, like, one of them has like a blood panel and urine and nail trim, or urine analysis and nail trim, parasite screen.
Yeah, and all the lab stuff is donated by the lab, which is
cool.
Great. Yep.
And so, yeah, these are like big packages, like the senior annual wellness care package. It's a $350 value, and you guys have 4 of these types of packages that you're giving away, and this is all part of the free raffle just for showing up.
Yep. Yep, show up and bring your pets if you want. Cats, probably not so easy, but, you know.
What about chickens?
Chickens, yeah.
Maybe not.
Sure.
I don't know, if there's cats coming, we probably don't want to bring chickens. And if there's dogs coming, we might not want to bring cats.
Right, right.
Well, we see how that goes.
There's going to be some fabulous cupcakes made by Harriet's House of Cakes, best cupcakes I've ever had. velvet.
Red velvet and salted caramel.
Mm-hmm.
Just try to stay away from those.
Oh, no.
Will Carlin be making her cocktail sauce?
No.
Oh.
I know. She doesn't even get a comb.
Oh.
She has to work, so.
That's too bad.
I know.
All right, meat and cheese, veggies, fruit platters, light drinks, coffee, juice, wine, and water, and treat bags, little, like, party gifts. Everyone gets some treats.
Yep.
And then all of these raffles that are awesome. And other, also, Polly Klein, tell us a little bit about her, because she's using your quiet room.
Right. So Polly Klein is another practitioner that is working out of what we call the quiet room, which is like a living room. It has a couch and carpet, so it's just comfortable to be in.
Yeah.
So she is a Reiki master. She also does cranial sacral therapy for dogs and cats. And I wasn't sure what that was, but it's really interesting. It's more, having to do with the head and body. But not trying to rub out like massage tries to rub out knots. This is kind of more working with the connective tissues to just get energy flow better. And she could explain it so much better than I could, but fascinating stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she is an animal communicator, which is great.
Cool.
And she talked to Travis for us, which was fun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And you have, speaking of Travis, you have two dogs?
Yes.
Travis and
Sister.
And what are their breeds?
Sister is a border collie cattle dog. Her name is Sister Smarty Pants. And Travis the Wiz is, I don't know, he was a stray, but I think he's a Yorkie poo maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's cute. They're adorable. We're sort of obsessed with Sister.
Yeah. Well, they're fun. They're fun.
And you guys went out with Sister to see Maggie McClure, who's the coordinator of the Vashon Sheepdog Trials, and did some herding with her.
Yeah,
yeah.
We did. She had a great time.
She found her calling, huh?
Well, she just had. What I love about Maggie is she's just like, just let her have fun.
Yeah.
You're not going to tell her to do anything. Just see what she does.
Yeah.
So it was fun.
Cool. So JetCityAnimalClinic.com is their website. Their open house is this Saturday. Lots of, what is it, over $2,500 in raffle giveaways.
Yeah.
And you get a free raffle ticket just for walking through the door. So there you go. And you can bring your dog as long as you think your dog would enjoy being there and enjoy being with other dogs. And see the space. Check out the quiet room. Something else that I really, that's a sort of a passion of mine among many, is end of life, the conversations of end of life. And I know that that's something that you are really sensitive to as well. And that's part of also what the quiet room is intended for too.
Right. Yeah. Right. I am just trying to be, I mean, we all have lost dear pets and we know it's so incredibly difficult, and to have to go into a bright exam room where you've come for years.
Sit on a hard floor, yeah.
And say goodbye to your family member, and sometimes your best friend ever in your life. It's so hard. So we have a place that's comfortable for everybody, and, you know, you don't ever have to go in there ever again if you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you come into Jet City, it's not like you're put back in that same room where you said goodbye to...
Yeah.
You know, your loved one.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that. And that totally happened where I was, this was years ago, but I found myself back in the exam room that I was in when I put Chewy down.
Mm.
And I was like, whoa, wow,
yeah.
Here I am again.
Yep.
Last time I was in this room. And it just, you know, it was fine, but it was definitely a thing that, you know, struck me about being in there that I wasn't necessarily anticipating. So
right. That's
a good good aspect of that as well. So I find physiology, I wish I could download your brain. Because
it'd be scary.
At least for the physiology part. Because I was one of
She's back in the Matrix.
I know.
Download your brain, Dr. Anderson. Because it's so interesting. I mean, when you really learn about how... I remember when I learned about muscle contraction and I was freaking out. I remember drawing it on napkins for friends, like after class.
Yeah.
Here, not going to believe this. This happens, and then this happens, and this happens, and it happens so fast. So, you know, talking about how just like understanding how everything works together. You're talking about metabolic function, and I asked you what that was. So, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean you're referring to what I think is so important, which is nutrition. And how it enhances metabolic function. Metabolic function is your how your organs work together, how the physiology of your body and how everything has jobs. And so those jobs are done more easily if they don't have to get rid of all sorts of toxins on top of it.
Right.
And have the right building blocks. So the right amino acids and all this to just function and do the best. And so when your body gets worn out, it's the same with us as it is with dogs and cats. They're just more sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Gets worn out dealing with toxins all the time.
Mm-hmm. And they are everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So another thing that I really appreciate about you, and that definitely makes you unique among the larger population of veterinarians, is your sensitivity to nutrition and how important it is. And that's undervalued in human medicine also. It just blows my mind that, you know, people could, you know, I have a friend who has a liver issue, and nobody's really brought up nutrition.
I know.
So it's like, well, it's my liver.
Well, just do a colonoscopy when I won't ask you what you eat.
Right. Like it's not connected or not one of the most important factors to health. So,
right.
And it's all the same is true for dogs and cats. So having a vet who's a traditional vet who is sensitive to nutrition, who's open to raw food diets, cooked food diets, dehydrated foods, I know Natural Pet Pantry is going to be at your open house as well.
Yep.
And they're going to have treats there for people to give their pets, and there to talk to people who are interested in learning more about raw and cooked food alternatives. And that's such an important thing, because that's something that I run up against a lot with my clients, is that there's a lot of people, I mean, in general, but who are really scared of raw foods, or who are just flat out opposed to them, and you know, and I'm not, and so that's kind of a difference in perspective, and we both tend to passionately state our case, so it's nice to not have that friction there, to be able to send people and know that they're not going to be like pressured to just get on a prescription diet just because that's what's sold there,
right?
And that those are really used with discretion, and you know, really as needed when you feel it's really the only option for the case. So that's just so awesome. And I know, as I've been talking to people in the industry about you and letting them know, they are always, I always put that in, like, and she's totally keen on nutrition and food, and they're like, oh, no way. Like, that's something that is really, really valuable, and that's really, unfortunately, pretty uncommon.
Well,
unless you go to, like, a holistic vet, and then, you know.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, I guess that's part of the whole integrity of the way I want to practice, because I think what I've actually seen with prescription diets and what I've seen with good quality foods, I'm just getting into the raw, so that's kind of new to me, is I think as a medical practitioner, you're always having to learn. You're always having to open yourself up to what else can we do to help this patient. And nutrition has been so important in allergies. I can tell you how many, 90% of cat allergies cured with a change in, and I'm talking cat allergies as in the chronic barfing syndrome.
Mm.
It's not normal for them to barf all the time. That's just not normal.
Right.
Evolutionarily, it wouldn't be functional.
Right.
So it's because of what we feed them.
Imagine
so,
that.
I know. I mean, you know, kibble's convenient. But
yeah.
Yeah. Not grateful.